Let's turn to 1 Peter 1 tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 1 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. But Father, we thank you that you are a just and a holy God. Because of that, we have a standard to follow. Because of that, we have an example. Because of that, we realize that we are accountable to you. Father, help us to walk as a clear reflection of who you are. Help us to be a light to those around us. Help us to be different in the sense that others will want to know more. We'll be able to share with them the truth of the gospel. Father, I pray that you would teach us from your word tonight. I pray that you would encourage us and challenge us. I pray that you would be honored and glorified through what we look at, what we see tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to a passage like this, we see that we're called to be holy. The question comes to my mind is, what does being holy look like? We would think of holiness, we think of God, and rightly so, because he is the ultimate standard of holiness. He is holy. And so anything that is holy, we're saying God is holy. If somebody uses that in a derogatory way, it's just wrong. But the ability to be holy seems so far above us. It seems like we can't get there. What is holiness? We have developed a picture in our minds of what a holy person looks like. It's someone who walks around with a great big Bible in their hand, the dark clothes, maybe wearing a white shirt or something, a somber look on their face and not having any enjoyment in life. They might as well live like a hermit because it doesn't seem that anyone want to be around them. But that's not the picture the Bible gives of holiness. Tonight I want to look at what the Bible portrays as holiness. And first of all, we need to define, so holiness defined. What is holiness? Strong's defines holiness as being ceremonial or morally clean. Other definitions would be purity or integrity of moral character, freedom from sin, sanctity, or set apart. Applied to God, holiness denotes perfect integrity, perfect purity of moral character. It's one of his essential attributes. It's who he is. He is holy. Let me share some verses for you with you. Exodus chapter 39, verse 30. They're making the garments of the priest. One of the garments was the mitre, or the crown that went on top of the priest's head. And in Exodus 39, verse 30, it says, "They made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold." This is a plate that evidently went on the top of this crown, or on the side of this crown. And it said, it wrote upon it, and wrote upon a writing like is this engravings of a signet, "Holiness to the Lord." So when that priest went to serve the Lord in the tabernacle, he had this thing on his forehead that said, "Holiness to the Lord," because God is holy. Everything that he did needed to exemplify the holiness of God. Look at Psalm 89, verse 35. David says, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David." And God is speaking here. "Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David." God will never lie. God will never be untrue. God will never be impure in anything that he ever does. He is always pure and upright in his character. Look at Psalm 93, verse 5. thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Remember from as a little kid, mom and dad saying, don't run in church. What were they trying to instill in me? This is where we worship God. This is a house of God. This is where we come together to worship God. It's a holy place in the sense that God is here. Now, it's not the pews aren't holy, the carpet's not holy, but the fact that we're in the presence of God and we're worshiping God together, we're in a place of holiness. God is holy. Look at Isaiah chapter 35. I want to read verses 1 through 10. Isaiah 35, talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ's coming kingdom. Isaiah 35. It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. For the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So when we talk about holiness, we're talking about God. We're talking about the way of God. We're talking about the character of God. God is holy. But what about, secondly, what about the possibility of holiness? Is it possible for us to attain holiness? As we said before, holiness seems to be something so far above us, so something we can't attain. We actually find in Scripture that it can be very much a part of our new nature in Christ. As unbelievers, holiness was not possible because the source of our holiness wasn't in us. But now that we are believers, we can be holy because holiness comes from God. Nothing can be holy apart from God himself. In the Old Testament, there were holy days, there were holy garments, holy feasts, holy men, holy places, holy food, and holy oil. What made these things holy? Look with me at Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28, verse 4. What made all these things holy? Was the fact that it was just a special time of year or a special day or a special thing? There was one common thing that made all these things holy. Exodus 28, verse 4. These are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Look at Exodus 29, verse 29. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein, and to be consecrated in them, or to be set apart in them. So what made these things holy? What made all these things holy? It was the fact that they were separate, set apart, or consecrated for God. It was the fact that they were dedicated to God's service. But not only were they set apart, but they were to be kept clean and to be kept pure, symbolizing the purity of God. Look at Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus 22, verses 2 and verse 15. Leviticus 22, verse 2 says, "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord." Look at verse 15. "And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel which they offer unto the Lord." Look at 1 Chronicles 23, verse 28. First Chronicles 23:28. Verse 27 says, "For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and up above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God." And so it was important for them to keep those things pure and holy. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 24. Ezekiel 22, verse 24. "The son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed them difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." God was disgusted because they had profaned the holy things. They had profaned the things that were dedicated to his name. And so as believers, as children of God, we are holy through Christ. We are set apart to God. But we are also to be pure as a testimony of our relationship with God. And so others see, why don't you do the things that you used to do? Why don't you do the things of the world? Why don't you go and enjoy the entertainment of the world and the slop of the world, if you will? It's because we're to be set apart. We're to be different. Not in a way that we look ugly, not in a way that we're disgusting to people, but in a way that we're showing it's different, and it's a good thing to be different because we're demonstrating the holiness of God. We also know that it is possible to be holy because God commands it. He would not ask us to do anything if it was something we couldn't attain to. And so God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." But it is only attainable through Christ. And so we've seen the holiness defined. We've seen the possibility of holiness. But thirdly, what about the practice of holiness? How are we holy? How do we practice holiness? Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 13 through 15, it helps us to understand that. And if holiness isn't the picture of that person we visualize, then what is it? And I believe we get an idea from these verses what holiness, how we practice that. First of all, in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." The first thing is a readiness of mind. It says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." It's in reference to a man who, in the Old Testament days, in those early days when he would have a long robe on, but he would want to go work, or he'd need to fight, or he'd need to do something active, and he would take the lower parts of his garment, he'd tuck them in under his belt so he could work more easily, more freely. Also has the idea of being ready. Peter is teaching here the importance of having a ready, well-prepared mind, always ready to answer people. He talks about that in his epistle here. Why is readiness of mind so important? Where does sin start? In the mind. James 1:14, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Where does lust start? Right here. Starts in the mind. We have to be ready, have a well-prepared mind. If we're going to keep our minds ready and set apart to God, we must be on guard against what we allow in our minds. We cannot allow the allurements of the world to confuse our minds and cause us to become spiritually ineffective, because you know what? That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants to make us spiritually ineffective, and so he's going to tempt us with things to draw us away, to pollute our minds. Paul says in Ephesians 6:14 that we are to gird our loins with truth. When I played sports in college, one of the things I would hear often is that the midsection of our body is very important to being effective, whether you're playing football, whether you're wrestling, whatever you're doing. The midsection of your body is very important. It's a pivotal point. It's a foundational point of your body. And Paul is saying here that it's important we have truth as our foundation. It's important we have truth in fighting our spiritual battles. He says, gird your loins with truth. But then Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind with truth. Be prepared. Be prepared for the battle. Be prepared for the things that come. Our mind is foundational. Our mind is pivotal to our actions and attitudes. Therefore, we have to make sure that our minds are sharp. They are focused. They are always ready. You look at somebody who's not sharp, who's not ready, and they're going to allow things into their lives that just take them every way they want to go. But a man who's focused, a man who's ready, is going to always have his eyes on the goal, always have his eyes on Christ and on what he's supposed to do. How do we keep our minds focused? How do we have a well-prepared mind? Let me share some verses with you. You don't have to turn here. I have them written down in my notes. Proverbs 29:11. We're to be discerning and wise. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind. You come across a person who just says whatever's on their mind, probably a fool. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth until afterwards. A wise man is discerning and wise. And they don't just share everything that comes to mind. Isaiah 26:3. Keep our mind focused on God. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Mark 12:30 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So we're to love God with all our mind. That's another way that we can be ready in our minds, be focused in our minds. So if we allow anything into our minds that does not honor God, I'm not loving God. And so we have to keep our minds focused. We have to keep our mind doing things and thinking on things that honor God. Romans 12:2, we allow our minds to be renewed. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Have you ever had something? I've had this happen. When I was a teenager, I listened to the wrong kind of music. You ever had those songs come back? What do we do to get rid of that? It's always in our mind. How do we fight against that? We renew our mind. We put new music, good music in our mind, good things in our mind. That's the renewing of the mind with the things that are helpful, things that will build us up and make us more like Christ. In Philippians 2:5-8, another way to be ready of mind is have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Having that mind of humility, that mind of a servant, helps us to be ready. And then 2 Timothy 1:7, realize that God has given us a sound mind. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we realize we have the ability to think wisely through the help of the Holy Spirit. We can make wise decisions. We can have a sound mind. And so those are ways that we can have a ready mind. Another way that we practice holiness is through soberness in verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. To be sober is to be discreet. It's to watch. There are several verses to help us to understand what it means to be sober. Luke 21:34-35 says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That first phrase, take heed to yourselves. Pay attention, be watchful. Be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. How many of you in taking your Sunday afternoon nap were on guard? I wasn't. I was out. But we need to watch. We need to be sober. We need to be on guard. When Jesus was praying in the garden, his three disciples were back there at the beginning of the garden. He says, stay here and watch and pray. They fell asleep. I can't condemn them because I couldn't say I would have not done the same thing. A lot of things going on right at that time. But Jesus says, watch and be sober. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Where be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You know, there are so many things coming across our path these days that are trying to derail us. And why is that? I believe one reason is because Satan knows his end is near. And he's going to fight like a cat in a paper bag. And he's going to fight till he gets what he wants, but he's not going to get what he wants, and he knows it. He's going to take as many down with him as he can. And we have to be on guard. The end of all things is at hand. The Lord's coming is soon. I don't know when it is, but I believe it's soon. It is imminent. It will happen. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I was listening to something recently. They said, you know what? When a lion is about to attack his prey, he doesn't always roar. You ever watch a video about lions capturing, going after gazelles and things like that? They sneak up. And when the time is right, they take off. Sometimes he does roar to scare the prey and paralyze them. The devil is very subtle. The devil is very cunning. So we need to be sober, to be vigilant. Another way that we can practice holiness is, thirdly, by enduring hope, having an enduring hope. It says here in verse 13, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Psalm 71:12 through 14 says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Lamentations 3:26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Titus 2:12 and 13, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2-3 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't quite comprehend it yet. We don't have all the answers of what it's going to be like. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. But this verse is very important to go along with that. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Even as Christ is pure, even as God is holy. And we realize that one day we're going to be with him. Let us prepare now by being holy now. Let us prepare by being pure now. I was hearing somebody tell about how to confront a Jehovah's Witness at your door. See, Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe that we're going to all stand and worship God, or we're going to bow down to God, to Jesus Christ as Lord. The Revelation clearly tells us that we're all going to bow before him. And so when they begin to question, they say, well, you know, the Bible tells us that we're going to all bow down before him. Why don't we just start doing that right now? Because they don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Let's just practice bowing before him. Let's practice worshiping him right now. And that particular illustration, those guys found another house to go to. But there's ways that we can practice holiness. There are ways that we can demonstrate holiness. And the fourth thing is obedience. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Before we were saved, our lives were characterized by disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that. But now we are to manifest the nature of our Father. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. It says, so that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to manifest the true nature of our Father. And Romans 6, 20 to 22 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? But the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have a fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And finally, I want to look this evening, what is the reason for holiness? You know, we've talked about the definition. We've talked about the possibility, we talked about the practice, but what is the reason we're to be holy? Verse 15 and 16, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. There's only one reason for being holy, and that is God who has called us is holy. That's all the reason we need. God who has called us is holy. If we're going to be a true representative of our Heavenly Father, we must be holy. We must live lives that exemplify purity and integrity of moral character, lives that are set apart from sin to serve and glorify God. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your holiness. Father, help us to realize it's not unattainable through the help of the Holy Spirit. We can live pure and holy lives, set apart to you, separated from the world and the ungodly things that the world promotes. But Father, help us to be a true representation of who you are before others so that others will be drawn to you. We thank you for what you will do and how you will use us. In Jesus' name, amen.